Greetings, this is Nigeria Anderson and you at UrbanBuzzMag.com. And I have Aaron Lavelle on the line with me and he has a new album out called Crown, but we're going to talk about it in his single that's out. Aaron, jump in and tell everybody about the album and the single that's out.
Thank you, Urban Buzz Magazine. I have a new album that's coming out called Crown, and I have a new single called I Just Want You that'll be dropping on May 1st. My album will be coming out on May 22nd, Memorial Day weekend, so y'all make sure y'all go and get that. And Crown is just basically about your identity in Christ. I think oftentimes we as Christians dumb ourselves down and we forget that we are from a royal priesthood, and that we're a chosen generation, that we're peculiar people.
I love it.
And we wanted that to ring boldly in the earth. And that this is who we are. I'm a child of God.
You know, I'm chosen.
I'm crowned as a child of God.
Before
I was formed. You know, and I think it's important that we realize that. I think sometimes we can kind of, you know, get caught into the difference between modesty and humility, and forget, you know, who we are, and accept and tolerate a lot of different things, and don't move in the earth with authority as we should.
Yes.
So this album is just a reminder of that, you know, and it's a reminder to remember what the purpose is. You know, we're just passing through.
Okay.
You know, and ultimately we're looking for that crown of life.
I love it.
So this album was derived from those crowns, the crown of thorns, the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of glory, the crown of interruption. And that's the theme behind it. So a lot of the songs are about, you know, having our treasure in heaven, God's unconditional love, you know, loving us in spite of our sin and who we are, you know, are as people. There are songs about faith, you know, that my single Watch God Work, you know, after you've done all you can do, let God do it.
That's right.
Let him actually step in. So it's an awesome album. I can't wait for you guys to hear it. And the single, I Just Want You, I wrote this song almost 20 years ago. I wrote it in 2007. I know I look like I'm in my 20s, but I wrote it 20 years ago. I think I was about 16 years old when I wrote this song. And at the time that I wrote it, I was singing around the house and I perfected, but it was just not time to be released. And now, almost 20 years later, I'm at 35, I'll be releasing this song. And it's a powerful testament of just wanting God. You know, I think sometimes we can get caught into everything the world has to offer, you know, but this song is basically saying, I just want you. I don't want anything else. I don't want money. I don't want cars. I don't want clothes. I just want you, you know, and God wants us to be childlike. And this song kind of takes you back to that, you know, where you can be childlike in his presence, you know, and just sit at his feet, you know, and bask on him, you know, and thinking about him. So I'm excited about this album. I'm excited about what God is doing through me. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do through his people.
Amen. Amen. So this album, is this one of your first albums? Or, you know, you said you wrote at 16. Is this a first project? Do you have other music out and available?
I actually have other music out and available. This is my sophomore album. This is my second album.
Okay.
This is my first album with the label.
Yes.
My first album was solely independent. But I do have other music out. I have other songs that have charted on the radio. And my last album came out 4 years ago. And it is titled In God We Trust.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of those songs were written about 10 years ago. I have another project out there. I'm going to listen to that too in the meantime.
Right. Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Right. So now that you've been doing music independently for so long, and again, congratulations on being signed to your new label. But I want to ask you, a lot of people don't really know, like artists have no idea of what it is to be signed to a label. What does it mean to you, being that you were independent and now you're going to be signed to a label? Did you have any ideas or any specific expectations of what you wanted?
Yes, I think that's a great question, by the way.
Thank you.
So I definitely had some expectations. Mm-hmm. Or what I wanted. And I think after being independent for so long, it was a transition. You know, I'm looking at it like this as a person being single for a long period of time and then getting married.
Come on,
you know?
Sir.
So I look at it in that kind of way as far as feelings were concerned. But I'm excited about the partnership that I have with them and my expectations, you know, as far as equity and fairness is concerned and exposure, you know, and then also being with the label that understood my core values as a Christian.
Okay.
You know, and I feel like Tribal definitely understands that, what my brand is, and it aligns with what their brand is.
Mm-hmm.
So it just made sense. You know, there was a few different options prior to that particular deal coming into play. I'm a praying man. I'm a man of God.
Right.
You know, so of course I consulted with the Father on those first few ones, and they did not align with where God was taking me and where God is taking me. So there's that. And then there's the business side of it, of course. You know, I feel like artists today sometimes are like amazing singers, amazing on the microphone, but business-wise may not be a business astute or understand business.
Mm-hmm.
Per se. So there was also that part too,
right,
that made sense, where it was like, hey, you know, even going to this long, it's time now to elevate. And then not only that, the people that I'm on this label with, Kirk Franklin and Kiara Sheard and Maverick City and Chandler Moore and Amy Rain,
right,
you know, it's some amazing Travis Green, you know,
right,
Ty
right.
Galbert. I feel like Tribal is doing some amazing things right now for the artists, and I feel like the artists are doing some amazing things as well, because again, it is a partnership. I think it's not a good idea to go into any type of deal waiting or believing that an entity is going to do everything for you. I feel like if you worked hard before you got the deal,
right,
you have to actually work a little bit harder after you get it.
Right, right.
So, you know, so that's what it is for me now. We're going into overdrive. There are some things happening.
I love it.
That things that I have been praying for years, like going on the tour. I'm going to my first tour with this album. I'm excited about that. You know, we're doing two stops, two cities, my hometown of Orlando, and we'll be doing Atlanta. And so I'm excited about, you know, that. And then there's, of course, again, just being able to be in alignment. That's the main thing for me, you know, because you don't want to be out of alignment, you know, or out of the will of God for your life, you know, and I think that's important, you know, for me. And as far as taking 10 years, I would say to anybody, That's about a good amount of time it takes. You know, a lot of times when people see you, you know, become successful, when they finally see, they think it's an overnight process.
Right,
overnight
I say
success.
That all the time.
No,
mm-hmm.
The years that you may have put into it, I've been singing professionally since I was about 10 years old and started to record music 10 years ago as an artist. So when I was about 25 years old, 24, that's when I started to say, yeah, you know what, let me go in the studio and start being an artist. And how I got my foot through the door, that journey was not easy. You know, I auditioned for different competitions, Sunday Dance, American Idol, The Voice, every show you could think of. And I didn't get on those shows. And what God was showing me at that time was that he had a different path for me, you know. And that path was behind the scenes as a creative. I'm a photographer, I'm a graphic designer, I'm a creative director. I work with a lot of different artists and their marketing, their branding. And I believe in operating in the spirit of excellence. You know, I think anything we do, especially if it got God's name and brand attached to it should be of the highest value and done with excellence. And so I started off working with different artists and maneuvering through the industry and, of course, serving at my local church. And now today, 10 years later, this is where we are.
Right, right. Now, what I love that you mentioned that most artists don't is business. And being that you have this this longevity prior to this deal, you bring business to the table. What's something specific in your journey that you've learned that is a keepsake, like either keep doing that or don't do that ever?
You know what? That's a great question. I would say for me, what's always been is what we do is like pre-production or post-production, like post-evaluation, seeing, okay, after we had a concert, you know, maybe don't price the tickets this low. A lot of times, I'm going to be honest with you, with business, even though I went to school to learn a lot of this stuff, a lot of things still haven't come trial and error.
Right, right.
You know, one thing I would say, people say this is cliche all the time, is there is no such thing as failure.
Right.
You know, the only failure you really would have in business to stop or to not do it. I would say this, though, when God gives you a vision also, you believe that vision, what God gave you, and don't really tell that vision to a lot of people. I think I would say not to do that part. There's a lot of times where God would give me a vision or something and say, this is what I have for you to do. And then you share that vision. And then the next thing you know, now you're having doubt. Now you're having concern. Now you're having anxiety. Is the vision going to come through? Is it going to happen? It's like, did God say this?
Right.
You may not have all the details, you know, or know exactly how it'll pan out. But, you know, God said for you to do it.
Right.
Right. You know, so I would say that to keep those things sacred to you. And then as far as business is concerned, there is a separation between the faith and business. And I feel like that part is important for artists to know. You know, it's like, yeah, God, yes, we believe in God. We know God through all things, but it's also important that you understand how contracts work.
Come on,
you
know, sir.
And for things like that. You know, and I know some artists when I get into it, it's definitely, even though my artist pursuing a career in the legal field, so that way I can understand contracts better and understand the law better. And I understand, too, it's important that, yes, we need Christians and gospel artists out here, too, but we need some Christian lawyers and Christian doctors and Christian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All of those different things. And it's important that you know those things. And when you don't know it, I'm going to say this, when you don't get as much information as possible and you don't know these things as far as business is concerned, you're setting yourself up for failure. A lot of times when I get from artists, they'll come to me and they'll ask questions about how to get on charts.
Right.
How to get exposure to be seen and those type of things. I'm like, no, focus on your craft. Like, make sure that you like the hottest thing out. Just make sure that you're good at what you do, you know, and make sure that you're the best at that. And then the other stuff will come into play. It took years of cultivating my gift before I saw a chart.
Before
I understood how a chart actually works. Before I understood, why do I need to be on the chart?
Right.
You know? So I would definitely say educate yourself. There's a young woman. Her name is Monica Coates. She's a valuable person to my success. She has a book that she wrote. And that book changed my life about how I saw the gospel music industry. Mm-hmm. I would recommend anybody go read the book. And the book is called The Beginner's Guide to the Gospel Music Industry.
Oh, wow.
And it's a handbook for aspiring artists and industry executives too. So if you want to get into management or you want to get into just behind the scenes and understanding of how the industry works, this is a good book. Now keep in mind, this book was written years ago,
right?
But it's still prevalent today.
Okay.
And the reason why it's still prevalent today is because the gospel industry, I would say, kind of moves like God. You know, God is on his own time.
Right.
And the gospel industry is too. The gospel industry doesn't really necessarily move on the time of the other genres, you know, like hip-hop or R&B. We're a little bit slow with releasing albums and putting out music videos and those kind of things, you know. And so that's a good thing, you know, for us. So, you know, as far as, you know, evolving, you know, it's a good thing. We come a long way without social media now.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. You know, social media.
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
You know, but I would definitely say as far as things not to do, don't go with the first thing that's given in your face. You know, the first option, never go with that. That would be my advice. And then as far as things to do or keep doing, I would say the things that you see are working, there's an old saying that if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
That's the honest God truth.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of corporations. I work for corporations still, even though I'm an artist. And I see a lot of corporations that constantly are changing things. I'm like, man, if it's not broke, leave it like it is and let's just keep on, you know, working at it to get better. So those are the main things as far as business is concerned.
Now, Tribal Records, you read off these names. They sound like the Christian Motown, you know, Kurt Franklin, Maverick City, Kiara, Sheard Kelly, Travis Green. Have you ever worked with any of them prior to being signed?
You know what? I have not worked with any of them prior, but today I will be announcing. I guess you're going to get it first on Urban Bug
Magazine. Yeah. We love it.
You're getting it exclusive.
We love exclusives.
So, yes, you're getting exclusive. Me and my team are just like trying to figure out how we're going to start marketing it. You know, we've just been sitting on this for a while. So the first artist on my tour is in Orlando on May 21st, Thursday. The location, you know, will be announced. Tickets to go on sale on Wednesday. You have to follow me on social media at Aaron LaVelle Music to keep up with all these things. But at this show, I will have Kiara Sheard Kelly, and I will have Zacardi Cortez. Ooh. So this is my first time working with Kiara. Very excited. And Zacardi.
And tell Kiara, we ain't seen her in a long time. She's a key player, too.
Yes.
You know, I tell you.
Absolutely.
That's good. Yeah. Now, what inspired the song, I Just Want You?
I Just Want You was inspired, honestly, by me being at a church. Beverly Crawford, I mentioned her in most of all my interviews. She's a legend. She's one of my mentors. She's from Florida, from where I'm from. But she's one of the first individuals and artists on the celebrity to give me a shot, give me a chance in the industry.
We love hearing that. Shout out to Beverly Crawford.
Shout out to Beverly Crawford. Absolutely. I mean, with just even with every project I've done, she was the first one like, let's do it. Let's go here. You know, any one of my first singles, she ended up coming on. But what inspired it was I was at a concert of hers. And at the time, there was a young lady who was praying. And as she was praying, God would give me the lyrics to the song.
Wow.
And the service.
Wow.
And I just kept singing. This song never left me. And now the world will be able to hear it. Something that God gave me 20 years ago at a concert, at a Beverly Crawford concert, while the opening prayer was happening. The lyrics just started to flow, and I started to sing. And all my friends were like, man, it's crazy. You've been singing this song around the house for so long to finally hear it. And for me to hear the response from the people, the testimonies already that are coming in, and the song hasn't come out yet. You know, people have been hearing the teasers, and they're like, I cannot wait for this song to come out, man. And I didn't, the anointing getting in the presence, you know, from the song, you know, and your delivery in the song, and the power and the conviction of the song. And for me, the song was done, and maybe a couple of takes. And when I went in the studio, because I had sung the song for so many years, it was just easy for me to go into the studio and sing the song. But when I heard it back, when I got it back from production, I was like, whoa.
Wow.
guys really did that. So I'm excited about this song. I feel like this song is going to be the song that's going to catapult, you know, my music career. But not only that, it's going to be the song to touch many of the people.
Right.
You know, and it's going to be the song that's going to outlive me.
Yeah, well, that I tell people, music doesn't. The label may tell you, you know, like now you got signed, right? You're gonna do a press run, you're gonna do a tour, and then it's to the next thing. However, for the consumers, I mean, we still singing What's Going On, you know, Marvin Gaye. Yeah. We still, you know, what I'm saying, we still like the Delphonics, okay. Now, I'm saying we still like the Clark's sisters' original stuff. Still living, we still listening to the Hawkins. So music has a lifetime. So I like what you said, that it will outlive you. It's just the industry tries to put timetables on that. Now, you said something. You said gospel music kind of moves slow. They're catching up.
Right.
Thank God. I feel there is an uptick in the faith culture, faith-based industry. What do you feel?
Right.
What is God saying to you?
You know what? Even, you know, what God is saying to me with it, stay true to who you are, mainly, in the industry. Right. So there's always trends. There's always things that are changing. As far as the industry is concerned, and not just the gospel industry, but the music industry as a whole, Christian music now is the most popular music. Christian music is more popular than hip-hop music. So that says a lot, you know.
Yeah.
Now, from a business standpoint, Christian and gospel have now combined. You know, at a certain point, it was, you know, segregated. It was divided. There was gospel, and it still is to a degree.
Right.
But there's more inclusivity, I would say.
Right.
As it pertains to Christian and gospel.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And you're seeing more of that happening, which we need. I think it's good. I think it's also true to say, you know, the thing about gospel music is so big, and it's getting even bigger. There are so many different sub-genres. You got choirs, you got praise and worship, you got quartet, you have urban gospel, you have hip-hop gospel, you now have R&B, you now have Christian, you know, and then you have grassroots, you know, gospel. So it's huge.
Yeah.
It is so huge, and I feel like it's important that we put that on the map, too, of how big the genre is. Even though right now, if you look at television, if you look at radio, there has been a decline in gospel as far as advertising is concerned.
Right.
And a big part of that is because, you know, we are behind. And a big part of that, too, is not compromising certain things to be able to sell.
Right.
You know, and so those kind of things are going to happen. I mean, you have to find out other ways. And then not only that, too, it's not, like I said, not just gospel. When we talk about it as a whole, like you said, I'm just, as far as a broader audience and not just the niche of gospel, even now the Oscars and different television shows are now starting to go to YouTube, you know? And so there's just a shift happening all in one. And so now we as artists and we as influencers and Christians and navigating the industry have to figure out a way to pivot, you know?
Yeah.
In order to do that, you have to have a prayer life.
Come on, sir. Come on.
You're gonna have a prayer life. Yeah. You have a prayer life. You know, that's important. You know, you're gonna need God to help you make these decisions. You know, every decision that I've made thus far has been, God, is this what I should do? Or, you know,
that's
you want to hear his voice and you don't want to move until he says
that's
it. You know, sometimes that means waiting. Yeah. Sometimes it takes 10 years. Yeah. You know?
I totally agree. You answered that well. Like WKPS, we played the most diverse gospel online, period. And when we started, people was like, oh my God, no, that is not Christian. Like, you know, because we play it all. Reggae, Afrobeats. We just right. appreciate the way God speaks to the individual. Now, when I listen to it, if right. I'm moved or if I hear the sound of God, I'm playing it. You know, there's some right, that exactly. sound too secular. And when I hear it,
right.
I'm like, no. And then there's right, some
spirit,
that,
exactly.
right. Then there's some that do sound secular. And I'm like, oh, that's hot. You know what I mean? Every right. last Friday of the month, I do a gospel house mix, right? Because I'm an ex-club girl, okay?
Okay. Hey,
I love dancing, but I can't dance to Mahalia. I can't dance to, you know what I'm saying? In the way that,
right,
you know,
right.
when I'm cleaning the house, I want to hear some upbeat music, but not music that's offensive. Listen to secular right. music, you risk your ears. First of all, I hate being insulted listening to a song. You're not calling me out my name and all kinds of carrying on and being all explicit about your bedroom stories.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to hear that. But sometimes mm-hmm. I work out, so I don't want to listen to secular hip hop. So I'm thinking, Jesus, for the hip hop, the Christian hip hop artists that come out and make music, you know, or like I said, house or R&B or whatever. If God told right. you, like you said, if you was praying and that song mm-hmm. came to you and you sung the song, then you know what? You will hear it on WKPS radio mm-hmm. where Key plays mm-hmm. speak. Shameless plug on your interview. But anyway.
No, I love it. No, you're right. And I think it's important that we brought it. And I'm glad that, you know, gospel has come a long way. My sound is different. It's urban.
Right.
It is Christian, you know, music also in the contemporary, but it is urban. There is a song while rapping on it. I have a song that's country on this album.
I love it.
I have a song that has more of a R&B type of feel. Mm-hmm. It's what they're calling that, like, you know, this genre defined album where you're gonna get, it's gonna take you on a journey.
I like
it. When you go from one song to the next, it's like, whoa, I wasn't expecting that. Oh wow, okay,
right.
I wasn't expecting that. Okay. You know, more so than just being a vibe. It is a vibe. It's still a
right,
vibe. But
right.
it's for people who, you know, like the sample, you go to the store, you get samples, and you like to try samples, it's gonna be perfect for you.
Right.
It's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, no, but you know, again, yeah. like you're young, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. and then how do we reach the younger generation and get them involved
exactly.
in wanting to praise the Lord? To just, what
That's
do they
so
say?
Important.
Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. By the Word of God, right? So all these headphones, right? All these headphones
right.
and earbuds. I mean, when you better be clear, oh God, in this season of what's in your ears, okay?
And what you let your kids hear too.
Yes.
Let your ears hear as well, you know.
I'm
grateful that people let me hear kids hear my music.
I
used to
love
my kids.
Yeah.
And reach the kids, you know, with the rap, that those songs are for the kids. My videographer sent me over a clip of his 3-year-old singing a song, and the song was talking about having treasure in heaven, you know, and it's a rap song. And I'm listening to this 3-year-old rap, my son, I'm sitting up like, this is why you do what you do.
Right.
You are reaching and teaching another generation, like, your treasure is in heaven. Yes, we are here, but this is ultimately what it is. So like you said, you do have to. Like you said, you're not going to dance in the hell you're doing. Like you said,
right.
I things that are.
Right.
You
right.
Know?
No, it's true. You know?
Yeah.
And they have their place. When I want to worship, when I want to get it in, then I got to reach, you know, and grab one of them and just let's go. But on an everyday and just want to kind of just chillax or, you know, have, like you said, a vibe. And I love that your album is filled with diversity so that people can see that immediately and not just hold you to a stereotype. Because I think when labels control the artist and they're like, no, you should sound like this or you should be like this. You know, I'm like, how many albums I got to listen to that sound like Kiara? Or how many songs I got to hear you trying to sound like Mary Mary? You know, like, come on. Everybody got to try to be original here. It's 66 books, you know. You know.
Right, yeah. Like, you're making a valid point. I think labels are seeing that now. And I think labels are now giving artists more of that creative control. And I'm grateful for that, because I'm that kind of artist that's out the box. And I really believe in just doing, you know, being different and being original. And I'm real, you know, even though I didn't make it on Sunday Best, I would still watch the show and take the advice that they would give to other artists.
Right.
And one thing, I think you had mentioned Tina Campbell, one time she mentioned to artists, you know, nobody wants another Donna McClurkin, you know, another Dietrich Cannon, or another Mary Mary, you know, or BB Wyatt. We're looking for the next thing. And so I'm grateful that after 10 years of being 35 now, that I feel, of course, coming into the industry, you're going to be one to be inspired and like certain artists.
Right.
You know, you're going to be compared to a lot of, you know, it's normal.
But that's because they're popular and that's all they know. So this is why it's important for new artists to, you know, branch out and for the diversity. What do they call it? Genre blending.
Yeah, genre blending, genre defying.
Right, right.
You know,
for people to just have something to listen to. Because you know, you can have plain pizza, you can have pizza with pepperoni, you can have pizza with pepperoni and extra cheese. You know what I'm saying? Look at all the pizzas you can have. You got broccoli, chicken, onions, mushrooms, right? So why not gospel?
Exactly.
Right? Why not gospel?
Why not? Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Now,
and gospel has come a long way.
Yeah. A mighty long way.
We have come a long way.
Yeah. I mean there's more online radio stations coming up, because when I came up, it was probably 2 or 3. You know, but now it's kind of, you know, getting a little saturated.
Hundreds. It is saturated. They're getting a little saturated.
Yeah. And so
it's saturated.
Yeah. And we're thankful for that, you know. Now, what's another song on the album that you could cherry pick and share with us?
I could share with you guys a song called How Could You? That song will be available as exclusive release on May 15th. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a pre-order campaign, and you'll be able to get How Could You. How Could You is a song that when people hear it, like, it sounds like Prince. It has a soulful feel to it, but if you listen to the lyrics of the song, you understand the meaning of the song. But basically what the song is asking is a question to God, you know, what did Jesus, like, how could you, God, really, how could you send your son to die for me? How could you knew I was going to mess up? Why would you do that?
Oh, that's good.
You know, and so it's asked God a question. Then after you ask God this question, then there's the answer. And the reason why God would do it is because he's the love of your soul.
Mm.
You know, not only is he the love of your soul, that is the true definition of unconditional love, you know. Me doing that, knowing that you were going to be unrighteous, knowing that you were going to sin against me, knowing that you were not going to be obedient and you were going to do your own thing and have free will, but I still yet fit my son to come in and die for your sins, you know, because I love you. And when I think about unconditional love, I don't think a human person really has the capacity to love like that. But
they don't.
There are some Christians
that
do,
right,
you know, but it's very few.
Very few.
So
very
for me,
few.
That's my definition of unconditional love. I don't think unconditional love exists between humans, but I do believe that God is the only source of that, what that is. Even when he has to rebuke us, even when he has to chastise us, because he loves us.
Right.
You know,
that's
so
right.
That's a part of it too.
Yeah, I love it. And I tell people, you'll never know what love is until you've honestly, and I mean until you have honestly felt and had an encounter with Jesus' love. You'll always be in and out of relationships.
When he wrapped his arms around.
Yeah. Yeah. No. When you learn, and my clue is if you can love the unlovable, you know, when you can love that person who did you totally wrong, who dogged you out, stole your money.
And we struggle with that.
Yeah. You know, punched you in your face, beat you down, right? Mentally, physically, and emotionally. And you still can look them in their face and say hello and keep it moving. Because I ain't told you, you got to go to dinner with them or nothing like that. I said, when they come in a room and your spirit don't jump and you, that evil, like, I will choke them. Let them come over here and say something to me. You know, it's right. Not until they can walk in a room and you unmoved. That's when you can love the unlovable, you know. But I love that. So we're going to look forward to I Just Want You. We're going to look for How Could You. I'm excited for you, sir. I really am. I can feel the anointing, and I know that you're going to be a blessing to so many. Tell people how they can connect with you.
You can connect with me right now on social media. So you can follow me on TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram at Aaron Lavelle Music. Okay. AaronLavelle Music. And I say, I just spell it because people mess up the Lavelle. It's like Lavelle or Lavelle Crawford. Oh, it's not the same way as Lavelle Crawford. Okay. It's a comedian, you know. But yeah, it's two ways to spell it, but L A, not L E.
Well, let me tell you, sir, as we always say, once a key player, always a key player. So as you continue to grow and prosper, when that next album come out or whenever you need us, you can call, and we family now, and we would love to be one of your media partners.
Oh, I would love for that to happen. I'm so proud to be a key player.
Oh, man. Well, thank you so much. And we look forward to much success with you.
Thank you. And thank you again for the opportunity. And shout out to all my other key players.
Right. Shout out. You see that? That's why we say key players, because key players, we love each other. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Right.